Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I am Suzanne Hickson, worship leader for this morning. Our acolytes are... Can you come down now, please? Our acolytes, Ariana and Olivia. I was going to say Kayla, but that's the sister. Come on down, girls. Beautiful job. Please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. This morning is number 92, which is changed in your bulletin, by the way. We've got a lot of changes today.
A few things this morning.
Oh, okay. And first, Pastor would like to say something first?
No.
She would not like to say anything first. So our first praise song, if you can stand if you're able, is 92 in your big blue book. Please read the bold in our call to worship. Lift up our eyes to you, O God, longing for a glimpse of your grace. We watch for you and wait,
trying to keep awake and aware,
trying not to fall asleep,
trying not to miss your presence,
trying not to miss in our very lives. Clothed in faith, decked out in love,
wearing home for all to see.
Come and meet us here, O God.
In your mercy and your grace.
Let us pray. Holy One, have mercy on us this day. When we cannot understand this world, we know that we must turn to you. When our souls have had their fill of trouble and unease, we seek your protective hand and your healing touch. We come to you in faith and in love and hope of your salvation today, now and always. Amen and amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is 733, Marching to Zion. The Old Testament reading this morning.
Oh,
children, come up, please. You're so quiet this morning.
They are quiet.
Very quiet.
They're wonderful. Suzanne offered to share something with you this morning, so we'd love to have her do that.
I do have something from the upper room that says, "All my might." David danced before the Lord with all his might. That's in the Bible. That's a verse from Samuel. On the last day of school term, I went to my daughter's class. The teacher had turned on a radio to entertain the children. Most of them were sitting and swaying their little bodies to the music when a very popular Christian song began to play. The children jumped up from their desk. Gleefully, they began singing along and dancing in unison. They all knew the dance move for that particular song. I was fascinated as I observed how one song could change the atmosphere from calm to full of energy. I thought about the power of music and how in 2 Samuel, David danced before the Lord with all his might as he brought the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. I remember also how Jehoshaphat appointed people to sing and praise the Lord, which changed the outcome of the battle they were facing. From that day forward, as I offer my praise to God, each day during my prayer time, peace and assurance floods my soul. I feel God's presence and see God acting in my life whenever I worship through songs of praise. This thought keeps me joyful throughout the day and gives me assurance that God is always with me. Can we pray together? Dear God, help us to appreciate the importance of glorifying your holy name. We sing our heartfelt gratitude to you. Amen. Thank you, kids. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Judges, chapter 4, 1 through 7, verse. Deborah. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Haushed Agoin. Because he had 900 chariots filled with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidot, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Naamah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abnonam, and Kedesh, from Kedesh and in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." May God add the blessing upon the reading of his word.
I have to apologize to her halfway through the week.
There aren't many Tom, Dick, and Harrys in the Bible. So if you know how to pronounce these names, I'm sorry, but I probably destroyed them.
She was going to change their names this morning.
I was going to change their names, but I got nixed on that idea.
Thank you for tackling that. It's an important story to hear. It's just unfortunate that we don't know how to pronounce, you know, I mean, all of us struggle with those names, so yes. Makes me wonder if they called them shortened versions of, you know, like, yeah, something that we can say, yeah. Well, thank you for doing that this morning. This week we're praying for my Michigan Dental Center. Among many, many prayer needs that we have this morning for healing, for God's healing touch, for those that we don't even know what they might be struggling with today, we want to keep all of those things in our prayers. Unspoken needs this morning, certainly Vera's family and so many others that have unspoken needs, things that, you know, just come upon us and we just don't even know. Let's bow before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. We're not always awake, oh God. We're not always aware. We don't always pay attention to others and sometimes not even to you. We do not always treasure your blessings, the gifts that you give us, the time you spend with us, the people you offer us, the work you entrust to us. We take it for granted, Lord. We take you for granted. We wander away. Lord, help us wake up. Holy One, remind us today to be aware. Show us the way back to you and help us find meaning in you once more. We pray for those that struggle today, Lord. So much in this world is not in our control. We'd like it to be, but it's really not. So, Lord, we ask you, as we've done already this morning by coming to the altar, ask for your intercessory into the situations of our lives. Lord, as we pray and join together as a body of Christ, Lord, we come before your throne asking you to be with us. Asking you for wisdom and mercy. Asking you, Lord, to touch our lives. Minister to us today, Lord. Help us to be thankful people in this coming week. In the past weeks. For the future weeks, Lord. Help us to always be grateful and thankful and mindful that you are there for each one of us. That you hold the world in the palm of your hand, Lord. Let us acknowledge your power and your strength and your healing and your touch. Lord, we thank you for our kids up here this morning. We thank you that you've kept us safe, that we've been able to come in here this morning and worship you. For many that are traveling, Lord, that are going to family and being with others for Thanksgiving, Lord, we just pray that you will be with them and give them a protection of traveling on the roads and whatever means that they take, Lord, that you would keep them safe in your care. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've done for us. There just aren't enough words. Just saying thanks doesn't seem like enough. But Lord, we are thankful and grateful people, and I know that each one of us has a long, long list. And so we give you thanks today. All honor and glory, may they be yours, Almighty God. As we remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. our choir anthem today. Are we having one?
Yep, we're going to sing around the lectern.
Thank you.
Our anthem today is kind of an emergency one. It's Dona Nobis. It's done as a canon in a round, and we picked it out because it doesn't need accompaniment. It's done a cappella, so it ought to work for this morning. Dona Nobis, which means grant us peace. And what better message for the Sunday before Thanksgiving is to grant us peace in our world today.
Ladies, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for that. Our New Testament reading is from 1 Thessalonians this morning, if you'd like to follow along, starting with first verse of chapter 5. Mine is entitled, The Day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we all know what it means to be an encourager. And that's kind of how that scripture ends, doesn't it? Encourage each other with these words. You've probably picked up on a theme now from the last several weeks. If any of you know anything about the lectionary, it's year A, B, and C. And different sections of the Bible are separated so that you can hit every one of those stories or themes during a three-year period of time. So it's probably by no coincidence that we are talking about being ready. You've probably heard that theme for the last month or so, over and over again, about being ready, about the ladies having their wicks in the oil and the oil lamps filled up and being ready and watchful and awake. Part of that is, of course, being an encourager of one another during times when we struggle, especially. So being an encourager of good behavior and good actions and good responses are important. Encouraging and inspiring our neighbors is an important part of loving them. And also part of that theme has been loving your neighbor as yourself, and to show how we show our love to our neighbors. So encouraging and inspiring is an important part of loving them as yourself, as our scripture tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. Providing encouragement and inspiration is doubly important because most people you meet are hurting in some way. And I don't know if we look at it always like that, because some people just go about their business and they put on a nice smile, but inside there's things that worry them and concern them, and people need encouraging words. The problem could be grief, disappointment, insecurity, fear, betrayal, doubt, unmet needs, loneliness, or any number of issues. But regardless of its source, you can safely assume most people you interact with have something. They're struggling with something. It's a mixture of many different things. This is the nature of life in a fallen world, regardless of the specifics concerning your struggles. You will rarely be wrong if you assume that the people you interact with need encouragement. We all need encouragement. Encouraging your neighbors means uplifting and supporting and cheering and reassuring them. But even more importantly, it means giving them hope, because the discouragement they feel robs them of the hope that God offers to them. Discouragement and hopelessness go hand in hand. When trying to give discouraged neighbors hope, remember that a real and lasting sense of hope can be found only in our source, in Jesus Christ. He's not just a source of hope. He is the source of hope. This means the best way to encourage people who are struggling is to point them directly at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Inspiring your neighbors means showing them an example that encourages them to make them want to do better and be better. By do better, I mean trying to do one's best in every situation. By being better, I mean trying to walk more closely with God in those situations of struggle. People are inspired by an example they admire enough to emulate. And that's why it's so important to consistently show your neighbors a Christ-like example in which you're always trying to do better and be better. We're not always as successful as we wish we could be, but trying to do better is our goal. No example is as worthy of emulating as one that reflects the image of Christ, certainly. Encouragement and inspiration, though not the same thing, are closely related. But more importantly, they work together and better in tandem. It's easier to inspire someone who feels encouraged, and easier to encourage someone who feels inspired. Think about that for a minute. Encouragement is usually provided in the form of words. Inspiration, on the other hand, is best provided by example. Together, encouragement and inspiration, words reinforced by an example, have the power, the great power, to help people overcome struggles and point them forward to a positive future. And we think of an example, and I think I gave you this several weeks ago. You know, you can tell someone you love them over and over again, which are words, but if you're continuously insulting them or degrading them or acting like they're not valued, then those words, I love you, don't mean much. On the other hand, if you give someone gifts and, you know, and pat them on the back, but continue to have rude comments maybe, or, you know, the words that come out of your mouth aren't complimentary, that doesn't go together either, does it? So in order to show our love, we must put that into a verb and make it an action, and we must use that as an example. Encouragement isn't false optimism. It's not painting artificially rosy pictures for people who are hurting. Nor is it telling your neighbors everything's going to be fine when in fact it just might not be. At least not in the short run. Encouragement is about giving biblical hope, not false hope. I've read about this thing, and I don't know, maybe some of you have too, about vertical hope and horizontal hope. Have you ever heard of that? Biblical hope is vertical because it comes down to us from Jesus Christ. Worldly hope is horizontal because it comes from the people and things that are all around us. So that makes sense, doesn't it? Horizontal hope is fleeting at best. The most effective way to encourage neighbors who are struggling is to acknowledge the difficulties that they face while praying for God's grace and intervention in their lives. Let them know that they've not been singled out and they're not being punished. Rather, in a fallen world, bad things sometimes happen to very, very good people. When troubles pour down, the rain falls on sinners and saints alike. Remind neighbors who are hurting that no matter how bad things seem in their lives at that moment, that God loves them. Never, ever will He leave us. Remind them if they will place their fears and doubts and grief and all the disappointments and insecurities at the feet of Jesus in prayer, that He's going to walk with them through whatever their ordeal might be. Finally, remind neighbors who are hurting that no matter how much they suffer in the short run, God will restore them in the long run, if they remain faithful and true and trusting in all that He has to offer. I read this story this week that I think is a great example, probably better than any of what I've said so far. It's a man who recalls a valuable lesson about the difference between false optimism and encouragement while playing football as a youngster. And for those of you that might not be interested at all in football, please bear with me because it is a great example. He shares this. We were playing a game against a much better team. Not surprisingly, the score was lopsided in our opponent's favor. By the fourth quarter, my teammates and I were pretty discouraged. We just wanted the game to end so we could escape an embarrassing scene that just kept getting worse and worse. Near the end of the game, we were coming off the field after another failed attempt to move the ball. As we trotted down toward the sideline, battered, bruised, and our heads hung in shame, our cheerleaders were yelling, "We're going to win! We're going to win!" They were all smiles and false optimism. With just 5 minutes left in the game and our team down more than 40 points, we weren't going to win. This wasn't television. It wasn't even a possibility. Consequently, the false optimism of our cheerleaders just added to the discouragement. That's when our coach called a timeout and assembled the entire team in a large huddle on the sideline. Once we were gathered around him, the coach presented a no-nonsense message that was forthright but encouraging. We aren't going to win this game, at least not on the scoreboard. All of you know that. Then, pointing to his heart, he said, "But we can still win it in here. Look at the other team. They become cocky, bragging to each other, laughing and taunting you. They don't think we can score on them or stop them from scoring on us. I think they're wrong. They have shut out every opponent that they've played this year. Not one team has scored on them. They plan to shut us out too. We're not going to let that happen. If we stop them from scoring on this drive, get the ball back, and put it in the end zone, we can walk off of this field with our heads held high. That's just what we're going to do. Defense, I want you to put everything you have left into stopping them and getting the ball back. Offense, when we get the ball, I want you to put it in the end zone. We may not be in this team's league, but we're not going to be shut out or humiliated. Our defense took the field motivated, reinvigorated, and with a purpose. On the first play, our defense sacked their quarterback, caused him to fumble, and recovered the ball. That was step one. Our offensive team then took the field and proceeded to slam the ball into their defense 3 and 4 yards at a time. When we picked up our only first down of the second half, the opposing team became frantic. They started yelling and shoving and blaming each other for failing to stop us. They became more focused on pointing fingers at each other than on defending against us. The more frantic they became, the more determined we became. We continued to grind out hard yardage. Finally, with 2 seconds remaining in the game, we shocked ourselves and our opponents by scoring a touchdown. The response of the two teams was a study in contrasts, one that proved our coach was right. The other team had just won the game by more than 40 points. But by their reaction to our touchdown, you would have thought that they had lost. We, on the other hand, had been completely outplayed at every position, on every down, until the last 5 minutes. Yet you would have thought we won the game. While the players on the other team skulked off the field, heads hung in shame, and were snarling at each other, we walked off the field with heads held high as if we'd won the game. And in a way, we did. Like our coach said, we didn't win the game on the scoreboard, but we did win a moral victory. What our cheerleaders provided was false optimism, but what our coach provided was true encouragement. The Bible is filled from front to back with guidance on encouragement and inspiration. In fact, the Bible is the most encouraging and inspiring book that was ever written. Isaiah 40:31 makes it clear that those who remain strong in the faith need not be discouraged. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's an important message to give neighbors who are struggling with grief and fear, doubt, insecurity, disappointment, or any other source of discouragement. The key to providing them hope is to point them to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. They can't go wrong in doing that. Wait for the Lord. God knows when we're hurting. When we place our faith in Him, not only do we overcome those struggles, whatever they are, but we will mount up with wings like eagles, especially when we know and realize that we can't do it on our own. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is an especially encouraging verse to share with neighbors who are experiencing all of those things I mentioned before, whether it be fear or insecurity or self-doubt. If the Lord is with you, what is there to fear? And you can take that message, whether you're a youngster, a young one this morning, or whether you're as old as I am, you can take that out in the world and you can count on that to find victory. A similar message can be found in Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. The message to give those who are beaten down by all those things is that the Lord is at their side. And when He's at your side, they can overcome the things that are causing their fear, discouragement. One of the most encouraging verses in the Bible for people who are struggling is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod, your staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when we're facing the possibility of death, the Lord is there to strengthen and comfort. He's there to lead us from our temporary life on earth to the eternal life in heaven. From all those verses and others in Scripture, it's clear that our faith in God is the best shield we have when we're trying to ward off that discouragement and discouraging circumstances in our lives. That's why it's important to use Scripture as your primary tool for encouraging your neighbors and a Christ-like example for inspiring them. I shared some of these things this morning earlier in the earlier service. And one of the ladies after church came up and said, I think you need to post that somewhere. And I didn't come up with them all, so I'm not taking credit for any of this. But I want to share some of these ideas with you about how we can be encouraging and inspiring. First of all, assume the people you interact with are struggling and approach them accordingly. Challenge people of all ages to do more and to do it better and reassure them that they certainly can do it. Send uplifting notes, emails, cards, or letters to people. Praise the efforts of people who are trying hard, even if the results of their efforts fall short. We know those people that try and try and try day after day, and it feels like the struggle is never going to end. Encourage those folks. Praise their efforts. Listen to people who need to talk or vent or bounce ideas off of you. Listen to them. What a gift that is. Tell someone's boss what a good job they're doing. Make a point of thanking people for what they do. Give people who are trying to make positive changes in their lives affirmation and reinforcement. Pray for people and let them know that you're doing that. How precious a gift that is when people know you're praying for them. Support people who recommend unpopular but necessary actions. Build people up who have been torn down by circumstances. Let people know you believe in them. Celebrate and congratulate the success of others. I love this one. Take photos of special moments in the lives of others and send the photos to them with an encouraging note. And we all have such an easy way of doing that anymore. We have cameras on our phones. Take a picture, write a couple of words underneath of it. How encouraging that is. Help people see how they can turn failures or mistakes into something positive by learning from them. When giving constructive criticism, begin with something good before getting to the areas that need improvement. Assure people who are grieving that they're not to blame, nor are they being singled out for punishment. Rather, let them know that in a fallen world, bad things happen to good people. Let them know that God loves them and is never, never going to leave them, and will comfort them if they will place their grief at his feet. Assure people who are disappointed that the end of the story has not yet been written. They are disappointed now, but other opportunities will arise if they remain faithful and keep their eye on the ball. Assure people who are insecure that they're more capable than they think they are. Let them know they can enhance their capabilities by enlisting God's help in all they do. Assure people who are experiencing fear that with God on their side, they have nothing to fear. Assure people who have been betrayed that although people are going to let them down, God's never going to be that person. He's never going to be the one to betray them. His promises are true, past, they're true now. They're going to be true in the future. Encourage folks to put their faith in Jesus Christ, not people. People will always disappoint us, but the Lord never will. Assure people who are struggling with unmet needs to be patient and wait on the Lord. Help them step back and count their blessings instead of focusing on what they want but don't have. Commit to setting a Christ-like example every day for the rest of your life in all situations. And that's a nice thing to say, but I believe we can only do that with God's help. With his help, there's nothing impossible. We need to try to look for the good in everything. And the Lord reminds us to be thankful and to feel the blessing that he truly does give to us. And this week being Thanksgiving, we will officially celebrate that next Sunday, but especially during Thanksgiving, remember so many things that we have to be thankful for. So many people in our lives that we have to be thankful for. And if we take the tough days and try to think of what we can learn from them, I think then we can be that inspiration or that encourager. One of the ladies from my other church this morning was sharing a story of a lady that was in a terrible, terrible car accident. She had many broken bones, and I'm sure people have died from injuries less than what this lady sustained. And yet, she is recuperating 1 minute at a time every single day. And one of her dearest friends has gone through a health crisis most recently. And she said, you know, I might be walking with a walker or I'm in a wheelchair, but she said, you know what? The Lord has given me this opportunity to still be alive and to be an encourager for this other lady that is also struggling with a health crisis. He gives us situations where we can be compassionate for others because of what we've been through. And so we are thankful and grateful that our lives today here are a testimony. And let us be an inspiration to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our ushers come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. Gracious God, you filled our lives with the protection of faith, the guidance of love, and the hope of a salvation without end. Take our lives, Holy One, our time, our talent, our treasure, and use them to encourage the hopeless, to build up the broken, and to heal the wounded souls in our world. And we're going to give you the honor and glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is different than what is on the screen. 694 we're going to sing together today. 694. People of God, put on hope, put on faith, and put on love. Go forth with hope to encourage one another. Go forth in faith to build each other up. Live in mercy and abide in peace. Amen and amen. Let's sing together, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Amen. Have a blessed day. Join us for fellowship hour.